Good morning, Evangel. Welcome today. We invite you to stand and join us. Welcome to those of you watching online from home. We hope that you are able to feel community and connected with us, even though you are in your house. You ready? We have so much to thank God for. We invite you to join us as we sing and we praise today. Because of your love.
As we come into your presence, we remember every blessing that you've poured out so freely from above. Lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we've come to give you thanks for all you've done.
Let's put our hands together, church.
Because of your love, of your love, our hearts are clean. We lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we'll change because of your love.
As we come
into your presence, we remember every blessing that you poured. Gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we come to give you thanks for all you've done. Because of your love, we're forgiven. Because of your love, our hearts are clean. We lift you up. Songs of freedom forever will change because of your love.
As we come into your presence,
we remember every blessing that you poured out so freely from above. Lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we come to give you thanks for all you've done. Because of your love, we're forgiven. Because of your love, our hearts are clean. We lift you up with songs of freedom.
Oh,
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so great to have you here, and welcome to those that are watching online as well. We're so glad that you could join us. If this is your first time at Evangel, we'd love to get to know you. If there's any way that you can fill out a connection card that you'll find in the seat pocket ahead of you and leave that either in the offering plate later or take it to the info desk at the end of the service where there will be a small gift for you, that would be great. And you can indicate whether you'd like someone to contact you. We have lots of announcements this morning, but I do just want to say something, and I'm just going to kind of do what my husband kind of was hoping that I would do at some point. And just quickly, just in a nutshell, you've all been praying for me, or a lot of you have been praying for me for the last 5.5 years. And I just wanted to let you know that I had my 6-month scans again just this past week, and the oncologist came in again and said, still no change. No progression.
Yes.
So I do want to thank the Lord, and I want to thank all of you for praying, because she says I'm just like her miracle patient, you know, because the medications, they shrunk the tumors so they can barely be seen on the scan. They can't even see them on the scans, and so it's done more than just buy me more time. It's really like reduced those tumors. So I'm just so grateful to all of you. Thank you so much. I thought I would share that with you, because you know we often don't circle back and share the good news and what God is doing. We have lots of announcements. There's some upcoming events. This Thursday, September 28th at 7 p.m. there's going to be a worship and prayer gathering here at the church. I hope that you'll all be able to take some time out to just come together. We pray for, you know, congregational needs, for our vision, you know, the things that we want to do in our community. We just come together and really, you know, celebrate the Lord and you know, ask for his guidance, his leading, and his help. So make that a priority if you at all can. There's going to be an upcoming Grief Share course, and some of you know about Grief Share. It's an amazing course. There's going to be one coming up at Clearview Church that they're hosting online for those who have lost a spouse. It's going to be beginning October 3rd. There is a poster in the foyer on the bulletin board back there that has more details about how to register, but we just wanted to let you know and kind of plug that, because I think it's a really important thing. So if you're interested, see that poster. Evangel is going to be partnering with Kerr Street Ministries to host a CAP money management course for 3 consecutive Wednesdays in October. And this course isn't meant to be for people who just like are feeling like they're living at the poverty line. This is meant to teach about some good money management skills, which we could all use in these economic times. So if you're interested in taking part in that course, you can see me. There's flyers at the info desk that have some information about how to register. And it's also for anybody who might be interested in taking the course so that they could, in the future, lead that course. And Christian Ministries is very excited, because it's the first time any course of its kind will be held outside of Kerr Street Mission. So we're going to be kind of like an extension site for them, so that we could perhaps reach some people in this neighborhood. So we're excited about that. You can see me for any details if there's not enough on the flyer. Just want to remind you that the young adults will meet here tonight at 7 p.m. and junior and senior high youth are meeting here on Thursday at 7 p.m. And if you need any more details, you can see Pastor Scott. There's a great opportunity for a chance to serve with Kerr Street. They are again looking for more support volunteers for the Neighbor Care Network. The need is increasing in Oakville, as I'm sure a lot of you are aware. There's a lot more need, and we need support volunteers to come alongside people as they navigate different challenges, financial and otherwise. There's going to be a training seminar that's coming up Saturday, September 30th, and you can see me if you're just interested, even if you can't make that date. Before we take up the offering, Oh, how did I forget that? I thought I added it, and that was added, you know, at the last minute, but I knew I was going to miss something. So many announcements. There's a parent meeting after the service in the youth room. Do I have that right?
October
1st. October 1st. I'm so sorry, Scott. Next Sunday, after church, a youth parent meeting in the youth room. Is that where it is? I got it. Okay. Next Sunday. All right. And if I muddled that, just talk to Pastor Scott. Before we take up the offering, and I'm going to remind you that you can also give via e-transfer by going on giving at ebcoakville.com. That's the address to use. But before we take up the offering, we're going to let the kids go. Kids in age 4 to grade 5. We'll meet your volunteers over here. You can go around the back. And, of course, the nursery is open at any time for newborn up to age 3. You can take your child there at any time during the service. Just before we just start to take up the offering, we're going to play during the offering a video that was created just to give you some ideas, some of the progress that's happened with Edith's garden. As most of you know, there's a vegetable garden out back here that Helen and Trevor Escott and a team have worked hard on, and we want people that could benefit from that food to receive that. And it was intended to only really be, you know, in operation more next summer. But some great progress has been made. So as we take up the offering now, we're going to let you watch this video, and then we're going to turn the service back to Carlene. Thank you.
And as a metaphor for our own hearts, and before we continue on in praise and worship, would you join me and let's just ask the Holy Spirit, the gardener of our soul, to soften and to make our hearts fertile ground, that seeds that are already planted will begin to grow a bit more this morning, and that hard places in the garden of our heart would be stirred up and softened this morning as we worship and as we pray and as we hear the word. Would you join me? Father, I am grateful that you see the power of seeds, that you speak often of the power of seeds. And I pray over each of us as we have hearts that are in various stages of fertility, of good soil. But this morning, I pray that this house would be hearts that have fertile ground, that have ground that is stirred up by your Holy Spirit, so that the seeds of your word and the seeds of your heart will find a good place to grow. In Jesus' name. You may remain seated. We'll ask you to stand and join us in a minute.
I don't want to be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. I'm not gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. I'm not gonna fear the storm. I'm not gonna fear it all. Peace, 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 over me.
Shadows burn like a fire.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Yes, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Oh Jesus, shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I'll speak the holy name. Oh Jesus, shout Jesus. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Yes, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Oh Jesus,
patiently upon
peace to the wounded, yes. Hope for the helpless one. He is here. He is here. He is here. Be still.
Accomplish goals, but we need your help to be still as well. And I pray this morning that for each one of us that is striving, that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to patiently wait upon the Lord, and that our hearts would be stilled from the striving, and that we would know you are God.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Acts chapter 11, and we're going to read just two verses today, 19 to 21. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Carlene and worship team, for leading us this morning. Just an announcement from Trevor and Helen about the garden. They also do a community garden of their own here in Oakville. And there's been a bountiful harvest, and there is stuff available. And at the end of the service today, if you want to go to the foyer and meet them there, you can take some of that harvest home with you to help you out. All right, so just so you know that. I believe that most of us have a love-hate relationship with change. On the one hand, it can be terrifying. And then on the other hand, it can be exhilarating. And so I would admit to you today that I struggle with that love-hate relationship when it comes to change. Some change I welcome and I celebrate because change makes growth possible. And as hard as the personal change process can be, I actually find great joy in being able to look back over a particular season of change in my life and see the work that God has been doing in me, changing me for the better. It's hard. Oftentimes what makes that change happen is hard, but I celebrate it. I welcome, and some of you notice this, I welcome and celebrate organizational and institutional change. And as a church leader, I understand that for the church to grow, change must take place. And so I'm not someone who hangs on to familiarity because it makes me feel comfortable. I'm someone who desires to embrace where the Holy Spirit is leading in a particular season to bring the necessary change and embrace new opportunities. I love that kind of change. I love it when the price of gas changes and it drops 8 cents a liter overnight. I love that kind of change. But there's some change I don't like. I don't like it when something painful happens to me abruptly, seemingly out of nowhere, and I'm forced into change without warning or input. My grocery store just finished a huge renovation. I've been shopping there for about 20 years, and my grocery list is organized based on the layout of the store. Sorry, that's just kind of how I'm wired. My grocery list is organized based on the layout of the store, and so it's each week I just highlight the things I need, and it's in order. But now I find myself, I'm just wandering around the store. It's taking so much longer, and I can't find anything anymore, and it's a nice rental, but I want to tell you that I don't like the fact that they change where they keep the pasta. It just messes my system up. I don't like it. For some reason, Starbucks decided to not bring back the pumpkin scone. It's the best thing they sell. Terrible decision. I don't like that change. I don't like that change. Some change we love, some change not so much. Today, we're continuing our sermon series entitled Defining Moments, and we're going to consider the early church's response to a defining moment of abrupt change and how their decision in that moment propelled the church forward to reach people that they would not have reached had the change not happened. And so today, we are going to be reminded that abrupt change in our lives presents us with an opportunity to do something for God that we never thought we could do. So let's take a look at our scripture this morning. Abrupt change. The early church was seeing great success in Jerusalem. Despite some of the challenges, and there were challenges, the early church was comfortable in Jerusalem. Things were going well. They were Jews who believed that Jesus was the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. They continued to worship in the Jewish temple. They were primarily focused on convincing other Jews that Jesus was, you know, their long-expected Messiah. Other Jewish people were accepting the message, and they were becoming a part of this growing church community. The church was growing.
with Jewish Christ followers. Any Gentiles that were joining first converted to Judaism and then later became followers of Jesus. And despite their success, it was just the beginning of Jesus' plan for them. Because in Acts 1:8, Jesus had promised that his followers would have power to witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But up until this moment, and what's interesting is, you know, we see 1:8 is where we see that promise, and 8:1 is where we see it unfolding. But, you know, up until this moment, they remained in Jerusalem only ministering, well, to Jews only. Jerusalem was the intended starting point, but it wasn't the final destination. There was a world out there that was waiting to hear the message of Jesus, but they were focused on Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, we read, and we won't go into the story, that there were 7 deacons that were appointed by the apostles to coordinate the care and distribution of food for the widows and orphans within this newly formed church community. And we're told the names of 2 of them, one of them being Stephen. He was one of the 7 deacons appointed. And in Acts chapter 7, we read that Stephen was preaching. And the topic of his sermon was that Jesus is the Messiah, and also reaching a point where he said, not only is Jesus the Messiah, but the religious leaders of our time are responsible for his death. And so, of course, as they were listening to Stephen preach, they became angry at him for saying these words. And as Stephen is speaking, we're told that he has a vision. So now it's going to get really messy. And he saw the glory of God in the vision, but specifically, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And so he told the angry mob what he was seeing in this vision, specifically that Jesus was at the right hand of God. And so the religious leaders had rejected Jesus as the Son of God, and actually the accusation brought against him for crucifixion was blasphemy. And so for Stephen to share such a vision was also blasphemy. And so they stoned him to death. Stephen's death was a defining moment in the history of the early church. Not only was it devastating for fellow believers to witness one of their own brutally killed, but it was the start of what they call a great persecution breaking out against the church, led by a young man named Saul, which we later come to know as the Apostle Paul. Mobs going house to house, pulling people from their homes, taking them to prison. The persecution was fierce, the enemy's plan to destroy the church. And so as a result of this persecution, most of the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem fled for their lives, leaving the apostles to remain in Jerusalem. Abrupt change is called abrupt change because it is sudden and often unpleasant. This was, without question, abrupt change. It was sudden and it was very unpleasant. And everything they had known up to this point, all the work that they had done, everything that they were familiar with seemed to be wiped out and gone in a moment. Abrupt change. Secondly, there was the next thing we see is adaptation. These scattered believers, followers of Jesus, they had a choice to make. Were they going to embrace the change? Were they going to continue what they started? Or are they just going to give up? Were they going to adapt and allow God to use these circumstances somehow to bring his promises to pass? Or were they going to allow this change to defeat them? Well, they made the decision to adapt to the abrupt change and keep going. In the midst of the abrupt change, the Holy Spirit was leading the mission of Jesus from Jerusalem to Antioch, because the Holy Spirit is always hovering over chaos. And so the Holy Spirit is leading the mission. And from Jews now only embracing, but the Gentiles were also embracing it. And it was at this point in the story that things got uncomfortable for the early church. More uncomfortable, really, than the persecution. Because they're being led to places and they're being led to people, and it's outside of their comfort zone. Their beliefs, their theology, their practices are being pushed to the limits now. And as we mentioned earlier, some of the believers from Jerusalem church were Greeks who had converted to Judaism, who converted to Jesus. And when these Greeks left Jerusalem because of the persecution, they went to places where their own language and cultural differences would be welcomed. And so some of them, we're told, went to Antioch, the mother city of Syria. And these followers of Jesus began to speak to the Greeks there, telling them the good news about Jesus. And we're told the result is that they had great success. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, why were they able to have such great success in this city, a city that was completely opposed to the values that these believers held dear? Why were they able to be so successful? Well, Luke tells us right in the scripture. He says the Lord's hand was with them. The Lord's hand was with them. The Lord's hand is a metaphor for the power of the Lord. And in Luke's writings, when he says the power of the Lord was present, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of the Lord. The Holy Spirit working through these scattered Greek believers was bringing great success to the kingdom of God as they were reaching fellow Gentiles with the gospel, with the good news. In fact, it was created such a stir that reports of the success and the growth of what was happening in Antioch actually reached its way back to the Jerusalem church. And there was some concern as those in the Jerusalem church were considering what they were hearing. They were concerned about this Gentile expansion. So they thought, what we need to do here is we need to send someone that's respected and trusted from this church to go and check it out. And so we know that Barnabas was sent to investigate and determine the validity of what was happening in Antioch. Is this acceptable? Is this of God? And we're told that Barnabas arrived in Antioch and immediately observed the evidence of what he called the grace of God. The grace of God. And he rejoiced in what was happening there. In fact, not only did he rejoice in it, he encouraged them, keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop doing it. Stay true to the Lord with all of your hearts. Just keep going. Their decision to adapt to the abrupt change and keep going, their decision to not let this life-defining moment rob them of Jesus' promise for them, resulted in God's work continuing and things being accomplished that never would have been accomplished had they all stayed comfortably in Jerusalem. As we consider our scripture this morning, there are two things that I believe we can see here that would be helpful for us as we desire for the Spirit of God to lead us in our lives. The first is decision. All of us have experience, or all of us will experience, abrupt change in our lives that will result in life-defining moments to varying degrees. That's just a part of life. It happens. Moments when things were maybe going well, and then suddenly and unpleasantly and painfully they change. Moments that change our lives forever. Moments that push us out of our comfortable and familiar lives into uncomfortable unfamiliarity of the unknown. Sometimes it's the sudden loss of someone we love. Sometimes it's the loss of a marriage or a relationship. It's an unexpected family tragedy. Sometimes it's a serious health diagnosis or unexpectedly losing your job at an age which is not convenient. Not that it's ever convenient to lose your job. I doubt that any of us will live our lives exempt from defining moments brought on by abrupt change. I doubt it. In fact, some of us may experience that more than once. The impact of abrupt change can be very painful, confusing, disappointing, frustrating. And ultimately, it has a significant impact on our whole lives, including our faith. Abrupt change has a way of causing us to doubt God's care, His protection, His provision, His promises in our lives. It just doesn't make sense. Abrupt change can result in us walking away from faith altogether because we ask ourselves, what's the point in serving God if these painful moments are going to come into my life anyway? What's the point? And so many of us have had some tough conversations with God. But in our darkest, most hopeless moments, the Holy Spirit reminds us that the God that we have devoted our lives to serving is a redemptive God. A God whose specialty is finding good in the midst of bad. A God who takes what the enemy intends for evil and turns it for good. A God who restores what the locusts have eaten. And I believe today that God will accomplish things in and through our lives through abrupt change. Not that He's causing the abrupt change, but He's working in it that never would have been possible otherwise. And so for that to happen, a decision must be made when we are experiencing a life-defining moment of sudden and painful change. Are we going to allow God to use our painful circumstances and bring about something good? Or are we going to let it defeat us and destroy us? Give up. We have to decide. We have to decide. The second thing we need to do is sort. 2 years ago this fall, my mother-in-law made the decision to downsize. Sell her home, move into a condo. It was a big change. Any of you have gone through it, you know it's a big change. It wasn't sudden, it wasn't forced, but it was sentimental and it was difficult and in many ways. Her home was filled with a lifetime of items acquired and gathered, saved. And so a big part of that move was sorting through all of that stuff and decided what she was keeping and what she no longer had room for or no longer had need of. Now, some things were non-negotiable. They were absolutely coming with her to the new place. There was no question, no debate. That item is coming. These items are coming. Now, some things were decided that they weren't coming, even though those things were still needed, like maybe a couch or a table, but they no longer fit in the new space. And, you know, or they're somewhat outdated. Not that we have outdated things as we get older, but sometimes we do. And so, you know, these new things were needed, but they needed to be upgraded. They needed to be changed. The rest of it was either sold or given to others or donated to charity. Then there were a few things added that weren't a part of her life in the house before that, that would need to be a part of her life in the condo because this new arrangement required that some of these things get added because they're needed there, but they weren't needed before. And so that's the process that we worked through. Change often requires that we sort through our lives. And so when a church faces change, we have to decide. What is non-negotiable? What is non-negotiable? What are the things that we must carry with us forward, that the unchangeable things? What are the core fundamental things? What are those things? We have to ask ourselves, what are the things that have served us well in the past, but they no longer fit? They're no longer relevant. And they need to be upgraded to a more practical, relevant approach. So those things are kind of needed, but not in the way they were before. And what are some things that we've gathered along the way that are no longer needed at all? In fact, they may never have been needed, but we gathered them anyway. And they clutter and they distract us from our purpose, and they need to be left behind. And so, you know, what are those things? And what are some new things that we never considered before, but are going to be important to embrace if we're going to be faithfully following the Spirit's leading in our new space, in this new season? What are things that need to be added that we've never added before? And so when a church faces change, we have to sort, seeking the Holy Spirit to lead us in the sorting. Not our nostalgia or our preferences, because sometimes we confuse the Holy Spirit with nostalgia and personal preferences and personal opinions. And that's not always right. So we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in our sorting so that we are not caught up in nostalgia, preferences, and opinions. Now, when we as individuals face change, we too have to sort through our lives. What has been a part of our lives and our faith, our relationship with God, or the faith in our life, what has been a part of our lives up until now that is absolutely necessary to continue to be a part of our lives as we move forward? Even in the midst of abrupt change, what is non-negotiable for us? These are the values of our lives. These are the values of our faith. These are the non-negotiables. What are they? We need to ask ourselves that. What has been a part of our lives and our faith until now, something that we've had a part of us, but it no longer serves us like it used to. And we may need to change. We need to change how we live. We may need to change how we think. We may even change some things we believe. That scares people when I say that word, but I want to tell you, when I look back on my life, what if I were to look at sermons I preached 35 years ago, I wouldn't preach some of those sermons today to save my life. I don't believe those things anymore. I preach things that in my progression and walk with God, I see God in Scripture differently. And so, you know, what no longer serves us? What needs to change? What's something that is best suited for this next season of where God is leading me? What are some things that have been a part of our lives and faith that we've gathered along the way but needs to be left behind? Because it's weighing us down. It's holding us back. And it's not helpful in helping us embrace the next new season of our lives because we're burdened down with these things that we've gathered and dragged and carried through our lives. What are some things that we never considered before for our lives and faith that are going to be very important for us as we embrace and move into the next season of our lives and move forward? My point is this: change presents the opportunity to sort. And if we desire to grow from the changes in our lives, if we desire to move ahead from these moments, if we want to allow God to work through these moments to bring impact for His kingdom, with the Holy Spirit's guiding, we will need to sort through what is helpful in our lives and what is holding us back and what is weighing us down. Sorting is a part of it. And there may be moments when you're in the middle of sorting. Do you ever think this is a good day to clean out the closets and you get it all out and you lay it all out and you go, oh, I'm really tired. I wish I hadn't started this. Right? Sometimes you just got to sit in the mess for a while. Come to grips with it. Look at that thing that you know it needs to go, but it's really hard for you to let it go. Right? You sit in the mess for a while and then you keep going. Get the energy and the strength again. What things are holding us back? What things are holding us down? In the midst of abrupt change, there is great opportunity. But sometimes we don't embrace that opportunity because we don't sort. We don't sort. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. Many of us have experienced life-defining moments caused by abrupt change. Moments when things were going well and then we were suddenly and painfully disrupted and it changed our lives forever. And I don't know what abrupt change you faced and how painful that has been for you. I can't even begin to imagine. I don't know what it is you're facing today. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know where you are on that journey or in that process or the sorting through. I don't know. But I do know from Scripture and from experience that if we're willing to give these painful, hopeless moments to God, somehow miraculously bring something out of them that we would never have imagined. Abrupt change in our lives presents us with an opportunity to do something for God that we never thought we could do. Perhaps we never would have given consideration to. But this is the moment where we can respond in a life-defining way because of a life-defining moment. Would you stand with us this morning? Our worship team is going to lead us. And as we do today, I invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to speak afresh to you this morning. The Holy Spirit has a way of revealing things to us that sometimes we don't want to see about ourselves, about our situation, and then offers us a solution forward of trust and dependence on God. And my encouragement for you this morning, as some of you may be here or watching online and you've gone through some really difficult, painful things, you're right in the middle of it now and you just don't really know where to go from here. And a lot of people will have advice for you, and some of it may be good. You know, I've had some people give me some really good advice, and I've given some people give me some really bad advice. I've had some people give me really bad advice in a thus saith the Lord context. You know? Sometimes I have people come to me and say, so-and-so prophesied over today, and they told me this, so I guess I should do it. And I said, well, how do you feel about that? You know, it's okay to question that because, well, sometimes these things are not quite thus saith the Lord, are they? And so we're wrestling through all of that. We want the Spirit to lead us. And He's faithful. He's faithful to lead us. Worship team, would you lead us this morning?
Father, we stand before you this morning. And we know that you are at work in our lives, and we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And we know that there will always be circumstances and just people and things that will inflict pain and change and disruption into our lives. And in the midst of that, I pray that you'd help us to keep looking to you, to never take our eyes off of you, to trust that you are with us in that storm, in the midst of those painful realities, in the midst of that abrupt, sudden, painful change. And God, I thank you that you are taking us on a journey of healing, a journey of hope, where we embrace the future that you have for us, a future that may have been very different than we anticipated, but you're still at work in it just the same. And I pray for our church this morning. I pray for this community of faith, in this community, that we will arise from the changes. We'll always be faithful to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll always be open to your prodding and your heart and your purposes in here and outside these walls. And may what you desire always be the number one priority of everything that we do. And I pray that for our individual lives too. Lord, there's a lot of things we want to hang on to. There's a lot of things we don't want to get rid of. There's a lot of things that we want to be a part of our lives moving forward, but they're not helpful for us. They're harmful sometimes. They distract us from your purposes and your plans. And I pray today that you would help us, leading of your Spirit in our lives, to be able to sort that all out. See how we move forward from here. Lord, we love you and we trust you and we thank you that you're always working. You're always leading. You're always guiding. And you always have our best interest at heart in the midst of all of the most difficult things of life. Lord, we pray for those who can't be here today. Think of Elfrida and Bertie, Grace, and we're also praying for Sandra's mom today. Lord, we just pray that you be at work in each of these unique situations. I pray for your healing. I pray for your peace. I pray for comfort. I pray for encouragement and hope. I pray, Lord, that they would acknowledge and know your presence right there with them in the midst of all of it. And for those who may be in this place today who are struggling, Lord, I pray for your healing and your hope for each and every one of us. We give you glory, we give you honor. As we leave this place to go into places with people who may not know you or understand you and be able to see a Jesus in us that's desirable and life-changing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.